if someone would go outside, I hear some pretty loud music or whatever there, and I just check that out, please. Last time we did that, somebody broke in and stole George Prane's passport, and he was leaving the next day. And they broke in and stole some stuff from Fern Givens' kids. So anyway, first of all, I want you to look at the blessings, verses 33 through 37. The psalmist recalls the promise. It's like he got it in his hand. He opens up the covenant of God. He looks at it. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. It is an unconditional pledge and pardon, and it's permanent. And he reminds that again in this theme. The psalmist reiterates God's unconditional pledge. My covenant will I not break, nor after the things that that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. According to the Hebrewist, the word here, altar, has this idea to fold or to double. the Septuagint renders to make it void. And what they did, the Septuagint was they translated the Hebrew into Latin. And we have the Septuagint rendered to make void, just a translation. If we were to put it in our vernacular today, God promises that he will not double cross him. That's exactly what it means. He said he won't double cross. He won't fold back. He'll do what he says. He will not forget what he promised. And after all, when he made this covenant with David, he knew. Now remember now, he knew what kind of people were coming. I'm reading a book on, it's Schaeffer's Doctrine. I think there's four volumes of Schaeffer's. It's tremendous, tremendous, powerful writing. And the other night I was reading it, and I was reading about the personal sin of mankind. We studied hermeneutics in college in doctrine. It talks about the doctrine of man. And man has sinned. And because man sinned, sin passed upon all men for all have sinned. And God knows everything about us. He knows our sin. He knows our mind. He knows our heart. He knows who we are. Isn't it amazing that God had mercy upon us? You know, come on. You know, let's face it. Don't look at me with your pseudo intellectual perfectness of your life. Let's face it. We are all made in sin. We don't like talking about it because when we start talking about it, that means we think that we are not very good. Check that one. You're right. You just got 100%. No, you're not very good. In fact, you're rotten. You're rotten to the core. All of us. Did you ever read in the scripture where it talks about the worm? Most theologians talk about the worm. It's talking about our soul. Our soul's a worm. We're a worm. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I have to be after that worm all the time. Amen. Because I get bitter, and I get worse, and I get prideful. And I can't imagine anybody ever say anything about me like that. Look in the mirror, goofball. All of us have a problem. All of us have something in us that keeps us from doing what we really want to do. Paul the Apostle said, he said, the things I want to do, I can't do. And things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, dead old man I am. So it is a work in process. Conversion means it is constantly going. It's a constantly progression. In our Christian life, we have to keep going. It's kind of like a bicycle. Once you stop, you fall over. Kind of like a motorcycle. You can kind of creep them a little bit and creep them. But I try never to stop at a stoplight. No, that doesn't sound right. I try never to have to stop my bike. And I will coast and I will just kind of feather that thing. And so I don't have to put my feet down on the ground. If you ever watch me, you watch me. I'll just putt. And I can do pretty good. I can get about 1 or 2 miles an hour, and I can stay up pretty good. And once the momentum stops, either you put the kickstand down or you're going to put that thing on the ground. And I'll tell you what, you don't want to try to pick mine up by yourself. Christianity is like riding a bike. A lot of times we stop and we tip over. I was watching my grandson the other day riding a motorcycle. They're running through the mud. They're running through the pond. And driving through the gumbo. And the boy got her halfway through, and he goes, I wish I had a video of it. It was so funny. It looked like that guy on TV riding a tricycle tipping over. You probably don't. You know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's just funny. He just stopped, and he went, mud flying up, and, you know. Yeah, I didn't want to go that far, brother. But anyway, that's the problem in our life. You stop your forward progress in Christianity, you're going to tip over. Yes, you are. And a lot of times when we tip over, we think, and I heard somebody say, "That's your fault. Why'd you do that to me?" And you go like, I won't even buy you. Most people do not want to take the responsibility of their own actions, and so they have to blame it on somebody else. I hope your parents are beating a snot out of your kids when your kid's doing that. No. You made a decision. You made a choice. And choices have consequences. Good choices, good consequences. Bad choices, bad consequences. It is not your responsibility to live somebody else's Christian life. Anybody know that? Did you know that? I hear some people around here telling people how they ought to dress. That's daddy's problem and mama's problem, not your problem. Hello! Now, if you're going to work at Heritage Baptist Church, you're going to sing in that choir, you're going to play that piano, you're going to play the organ, you're going to get up here and play your trumpet or whatever, you will dress appropriately as Heritage Baptist Church policy expects you to. Amen. You work the nursery, you're going to dress that way. But when I got somebody coming to this church that's a visitor and they got a bikini on, I'll give them my coat. But I'm not going to fuss with them and tell them that they look bad. That's pretty militant. They didn't join the army yet, so don't cuss me because I don't have your haircut and I don't wear your greens. Don't you ever get that way. Because all of a sudden, inside your heart, you're becoming a judge. You're becoming they're a Christian because they... No, that's legalist. Legalist says we get saved because we do. Salvation comes from gift of God. So you be very careful what you're saying, and may I say what you say to other people, not your business. I think I still have my name out on that post that I'm Heritage Baptist Church pastor. Amen. If you got a problem, you come to me, don't go to the person. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, years ago we had a kid, and I've told it before, but I want to tell it again because I want to get it across. You listen to me? Listen to me now. A guy named Eric McKay was a good kid, came to our church, led our music for a while, married my niece. When we He was in quite a heavy in country music. Well, he got saved and he felt that, you know what country music, if you turn it backwards, everybody gets their wife back, you know. all the other junk goes with it. But anyway, we were having our family pickup, church picnic, and Huck pulls his Chevy pickup out there, and he's got two speakers as big as this pulpit, and he puts it in his truck, and old Hank was singing, "Set Me Free," somewhere in the middle of Montana. Man, he was out there just a heel and toe. And my first thought was, kill him, God, kill him. But my second thought was, here's a guy just got saved a week before. And he thought he was bringing entertainment. And he did bring entertainment. Before I could get to him, I saw this guy running to him. And I went, hey! He looked at me and said, I'll take care of it, okay? And I let it go for a little bit more. And I walked up to Huck and I said, Huck, I said, a couple things here. Number one, I can't hear very good, and you got that blast, and I can't hear anybody else yelling and screaming and telling me to run home. And I said, second, I said, this is our church. And I said, we don't need music. Hey, okay, preacher, no problem. What do you think Huck would have done if I'd turned that other guy loose? What happened to him? Was I wishy-washy? No, there's just certain ways of doing certain business. Number one, people do not have to come here. Have you figured that out yet? And some people don't want to stay here either. Have you figured that one out? Listen, I don't need your help making people mad to leave. I can do it myself. And good night, man. It is not, we do not have a dress code Gestapo at Heritage Baptist Church. We have not had, nor we ever have. I believe that we dress, those that are on this platform dress properly. Amen. Those that have jobs in this church, Sunday school teachers and musicians and preachers and whatever, they're to dress right. Amen. But it is not your responsibility to go up and grab them by the ear and say, hey, you hussy, or call them a whore. Because they don't dress like you want to dress. And if I hear that again, you will find out who the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church is. And he is here right behind his pulpit right now. You don't talk like that at Heritage Baptist Church. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I know you'd never do that, but it has happened. And we're here to help people and show them there is a better way. To show the ladies that they should not show off things that are only for their husbands. Come on, guys. So anyway, be very careful. Be very careful how we act and react. And Scripture teaches us here that we don't want to cause a problem with people who do not have the privilege of knowing what you do. Some of you have been a Christian all your life. Well, I met a lady today, and she says, I've been a Christian all my life. And before I left her, she came a real born-again believer. Amen. And she told me, she said, I've been a Christian all my life. And no, you're not. You got saved one time in your life. And some of us just may have a little bit over other people, so be very careful how you judge and say things to people, Be very careful about that. It's not your job, by the way. It's not your job. If you're going to work at Harry's Baptist Church, you're going to come through me, and you're going to work because I'm the pastor of this church. And that's how God's at it. You want to change it, then fire me and get somebody else. But right now, I'm your pastor, and that's what God wants. And I love Paul Chappell, Pastor Paul Chappell, in his way of dealing with situations such as dress and everything. He says, we have some leadership qualifications. And so do we at Heritage Baptist Church. We have leadership qualifications. When your guys went to the military, you signed up and you swore to do whatever they told you to do. And after this, you know why you swore. But anyway, you were expected to do such and such. Aren't you? Even today. And that's because you signed up. And even guys that got drafted, this is what you're going to do or else. And let's be very careful as a Christian church that we hold our standards very high. But we be careful that we do not shove something down somebody's throat that they don't understand it yet. Amen. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, women, do not wear anything that pertaineth to a man. Amen. And it said, men, don't wear anything that pertaineth to a woman. It's good advice. It's what the Bible says. You know, some people don't even know that. Some people don't know they're supposed to get baptized after they get saved. But somebody's got to tell them. Sweetly! You don't do that or else. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That works. That's a blessing, amen? That's a blessing. Well, the psalmist said that his covenant will not be altered in the slightest. After all, when he made the covenant with David, he knew that what kind of people would sit on David's throne. He knew it. And that's the point I'm trying to make. There are people that come to Heritage Baptist Church and I say, wow, thank God. Those people are going to make great members of Heritage Baptist Church. How many have ever thought that? And then all of a sudden, they're kind of like a comet. You see them one day and go on the next. And then there's certain people in the church that says, well, we'll pray for them. I don't know. And all of a sudden they become, I remember Mrs. Hobbs. Mrs. Hobbs is an atheist. Somebody says, I think your mother-in-law told me, she is an atheist. I says, yes, she looks like one. No, I said, yeah, you don't know who's coming in this church. We got a lot of people coming into the church, whether you know it or not, if you haven't noticed. People getting baptized. Man came to our church the other night. Little boy got baptized. That man had never been in our church ever. Oh, yes, one time. Snuck in, snuck out. But his boy got him to come to church. Wouldn't that be amazing? If we could love that family, that little boy could get his daddy to come to church every Sunday and sit with his daddy every Sunday. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, yeah, really great. See, when God said, this covenant will not be broken, do you think the Lord had a pretty good idea about some of these men that were going to be kings of Israel? Think that he knew about Ahab and Jezebel, what they were going to be at the beginning of time? Yes or no? Yeah, God knows everything. You don't. God does. And we're going to work our hardest to encourage them to do right and to serve God. You have no idea that little bus kids are going to turn out to be a next Jack Hiles. You don't understand that. People wouldn't give you 2 cents for Jackie Boy Hiles. Little sissy boy. Just had a mama. Dad was a drunk. Look at what he did. He turned this world upside down. You don't know that. That's why you people drive those buses, those people teach those Sunday school classes, those little kids. You have no idea who's in your class. God knows. Amen. God knows. And I just, we don't know who would bring son to camp. I know a lot of kids get called to preach at camp, even junior camp. Oh, boy, I think it's worth my wife and my $155. We don't have grandkids. We don't have kids that can go to camp this year. So I might as well just take care of one kid. I may throw in a few bucks for canteen. Well, when I said canteen, I hear the other kids, canteen, 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 canteen. Amen. It did not surprise God that Solomon's excesses and Rehoboam's folly and the stupidity of Ahaz and the unspeakable violence of Manasseh. Let me tell you something. God uses fleshly people. And hopefully we get enough smarts to say, you know what, I ain't going that way. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist follows this unconditional pledge with the word about the unconquerable power of God who made it. His throne shall be established as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon. I heard something the other day. The green people, or what do you call those guys? What do you call those? Environmentalists? They said, that the sun is going to burn up. And somebody asked him, I forget how many 100,000 years before it's going to burn up. Kind of crazy, isn't it? I can't wait to get to heaven. He adds a resounding Selah. You Babylonians, you Gentile nations, you go and blot out the sun. You pull down the moon if you think you can. But I will tell you something. There is no way you're going to keep David's throne off the throne forever. People can do everything they want. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me now. God's going to take care of it. Oh, but Pastor, you know, I was singing the other day, and I was talking to my sister and brother-in-law, and we're talking about these rest homes I preach. I preach at 5 rest homes every week, whether you know it or not. I have more fun barrel monkeys. It's the fun, most fun you ever seen. And I told Brother Brian, I said, you come with me today, and this is how you're going to find some people. Some people just sleep. They just sleep. And you can really get annoyed about that. Some people can't hear. It's Pastor Shear. Stephanie, my greatest hero. She brings this little old lady, couldn't hear nothing. She pushes her right next to me. It's Pastor Shear. Who? Pastor Shear. Oh, good. I love him. And she sleeps the whole time. I don't even get a rousing amen from him. We go around and give them songbooks to turn. Most of them can't find the numbers. And number two, most of them are asleep. And number three, why do we give the songbooks out? I don't know. But I guess it's a habit, a tradition, amen. I tell them about one, they'll just start hollering. Lady started it today. But almost threw it. You say, why'd he go there? Number one. One of these days, I'm going to get old. And just maybe I'll have to go to a place like that. And I hope some young preacher comes in and sings to me and tells me that Jesus loves me. And I will tell you something. It won't be long for some of you people that you'll be in heaven. So you better do what you can do for God while you can do it. Amen. Amen. My daddy used to say, son, you got to make hay when the sun's shining. Of course, there's people that, probably not good to say, but go off the wagon. There are some people that just fall off. But there's still people who want to serve God, even though they have failed. And it is our responsibility as a Christian to say, come on back. Yo, come back here. Come on. We'll help you. We'll grab you by the hand. We'll drag you if we have to. Most of you say, no, you won't. Because then you won't have to deal with them. And you won't want to forgive them. And you won't want to be hurt anymore. You ever been hurt? Get used to it. You are going to get hurt. Love one another. I think that's in the Bible. Love your enemy. Do good to them that persecute you. I've had enough. Peter says, how many times do I have to forgive him, Lord? He says 70 times 70. 70 times 7. But the problem is, we don't understand the Greek very well. And the Greek says, when you're done with that, flip it over and do it again. Every day. I have not been harassed every day. 144 times? 409 times. I have not been 490 times been whacked at. Have you? Man, you're a preacher over in Nepal. There's some pretty rough times, remember those? Whoo! 409 times? Nah. Nah. Anybody else? I don't think so. The end of the great eulogy of David's covenant, but the psalmist had not finished. There's a wail of anguish in his next word. But all of a sudden, it seems, he folds up the copy of the contract and puts it away. Look at the disarray of the kingdom. He weeps and he speaks of the things that were before his eyes. Look at here, the apparent suspension of the covenant. While it was impossible, the covenant could not be canceled. It was suspended. It was suspended. And there's going to be a lot of things in your life that God had kept blessing you, blessing. All of a sudden, you just keep going against God. You're unwilling to forgive. You're unwilling to be thankful. You're unwilling to whatever. And all of a sudden, it'll seem like all of a sudden, there's just a dark cloud over you. God's trying to get your attention. And it seems like the suspending of blessings is gone. I don't like that. That's not fun. Your responsibility is to live like Christ. And I'm going to say something you ain't going to like because I don't even want to say it. But I'm going to tell you something. It is our responsibility to live like Christ. And no matter how many times somebody hurts us, it is our responsibility to act like Christ. Boy, you like it when the preacher said, yeah, don't you do that, because you're thinking about, I never do that, so, yeah, amen, praise the Lord. But then when the preacher comes over here and kicks the cat, bites the dog, and chases you around the auditorium, you're saying, woe's me. You don't expect me to have to forgive him again. Well, what would Jesus do? Get your little bracelet on. Get your little necklace. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Honk if you love Jesus. No, why don't you forgive if you love Jesus? Why don't you overcome your own sin, and come back to where God wants you to be in this book. You say, but preacher, it'll cost me. It'll cost you more not to. You're destroying
her life. Destroying their life. Because you're going to show them and nobody is going to take. That's exactly what happened here. These people went away from God. They just went away from God. They got their idols and they got this and they got that. And man, they just went headlong into hell. So who are you anyway? Who do you think you are? Who are we? I thought we were Christians. I didn't know this is a lodge. Or this is just a family get-together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I thought this was a place of preaching, of rebuke, and exhorting. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord, if Satan to get you to destroy someone, boy, I'll tell you what. I wish you could go on the internet and listen to Brother Gibb's sermon on pride. And he gives this fantastic. I've never heard anybody preach a sermon like that on pride. Get it. You can go in there. Spiritual Leadership Conference. You can listen to it. I mean it. Takes everything away from you. You ever thought that you were something. How many heard it? That's a powerful sermon. It's about time that we realize that God hates pride. Amen. It's an abomination to Him. You know what? He says it's as bad as being a homosexual. Well, why don't I do that? Then get rid of your stinking pride. Bow down to God. And by the way, let me tell you a... I have... Went over 3 minutes. Let me tell you something. When you get to the point in your life that you think that you're better than someone, and when you think you dress better than someone, and when you think you got a better home than someone, and you got a better education than someone, I think it's about time you get into your Bible and fall on your face before God and say, "Dear God, I want you to take some of this junk away from me."
Amen.
I heard somebody talking to me the other day about something, and I wanted to say to him, I said, and I've heard them tell me this before. I've heard them tell me their thoughts before, and I'm going like, "You want to crucify that guy?" But Pastor, he did it. Well, Jesus told me something in my Bible. Said, if you think it, you already did it. Here's the problem with your pastor being here for 30 years. I know some of your life. I know some of your actions before you hit your zenith of Christianity. And I'm not out to drag your puke up. That's regurgitation. Your emesis. I'm not out for that. But doggone it. Back off. Have some mercy. And I'm the guy that said this morning, tonight, if you listen to the sermon, first thing I said, it isn't amazing how merciful God is. And everybody said amen or grunted or something. Or, yeah. Well, then why don't you be like Jesus, have a little mercy? Instead of opening your big, wide trap and vomiting out venom and vicious comments, why don't you say, I'm going to pray for that person, and I hope that I can be encouragement the way I live, that they would see the way I live, and they'll say, you know what, that's what I want to be like. Works for me. I'm telling you, every day I go through something just driving me crazy, and God gets a hold of my heart, slays me, and says, boy, I ought to take you out in the woodshed and just beat the fire out of you. Who do you think you are? Do you remember? That's all he has to say. Do you remember? Yeah, I remember. I remember some thoughts. I know some people that say some of the meanest things, they're the ones that never got caught, but they did it, and nobody knows anything about it. Oh, yes, it does. God knows all about it. You used to sneak around. You used to do some awful, horrendous thing. Quit having your phylacteries on top of your head and showing off how wonderful you are, and just have a little mercy and say, I pray to God that they'll catch what I caught in the sermon or reading of my Bible in my prayer time, that God convicted me and my life has changed because of that. Instead of saying, I'd never do that. Because the next time you turn around, you're going to be doing it. The worst thing that ever happens to me as a preacher is that what I preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night, I live all the rest of the week. And old Satan's there, and he is the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't say he's a liar. He says we know he's a liar, but he accuses me of what I did. Don't you love it when your preacher says, yeah, look what I did. Yeah, that's right, you dirty, rotten preacher. Yeah, but I got on my face before God. And ask God to forgive me. And if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. Deceive. Or somebody called the great deceiver. Who's the deceiver? And we deceive ourselves? Listen, folks. Would you tighten up your belt? Would you tie on your shoes and tighten them up? And would you put some things on you to serve God, amen? Find out what it really is all about. Find out that Christianity is not criticism. Christianity is helping the weaker brethren. Amen. Don't criticize. Today, I'll give you an example. Today, sat down, we were eating out, and I got this taco. And I ate it, and it was salty. And someone said something. I said, man, that's... And they said, you want any more? I said, no. I said, man, that's salty. You know what I just said? I didn't need to say that, did I? What good is that? Somebody else bought me the thing. Somebody else shared with me the thing. And I said, no, I don't want any more salty. And I thought, oh, yeah, I remember what the Bible says in James. That old thing right there? Set on fire in hell. And you have the same problem that I got. Yes, you do. The difference between problems and getting it right, that's change. God, I don't want to do that. God, I have sinned. Think how many people today would have just liked to have had a taco. I remember some of them over in Nepal. They were in the garbage heap looking for something to eat. And I'm complaining it's got too salty. I'm a mess. And I have a lot of people that are also in a mess too. I want you to look at one thing and I'll leave you go. It's down in verses 47, 48. Remember how short my time... This is the man talking to God, all right? And some people believe this is Daniel. He tells the Lord that his days seem uncertain. Hello? All of us' days are uncertain, amen? Amen. Remember how short my time is. Yeah, that's right. Hey, God, you know how short my time is? I had a laugh at that. I underlined it. What do you mean? I'm telling God how short my time is? Who do you think knows that? Well, God. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? He's complaining. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Here's a great question. It's got an obvious answer.
You die when God allows you to die. A number of years ago, a little lady took her son's sheriff pistol or weapon. I'm going to blow her brains out. But somehow, the bullet glanced off, just left about a 3-inch hole here. Didn't kill her. Still living, 15 and a half years. Was she going to kill herself? Absolutely. And the report said she flinched. Your time is God's time, and don't take it. My little grandson riding the car the other day, and he says, Papa, he said, my best friend's friend, Daddy, shot himself and killed his mom. Now he has to live with his grandma and grandpa. And he said, this young man, he says, that's really sad that they don't have a daddy and mama anymore. I said, son, that's the meanest, most selfishest. It just irritates me when a person will take their life because they can't think. When you get to that point, you find somebody and you talk to them and we'll get you help. And God will take care of you. God loves you. And it just takes a few hours to get over some things. You ever have anybody get mad and then all of a sudden they're over it? I mean, there's body parts all over the world. And then all of a sudden they're back, putting them back, you know. Crazy people. Life is short. But don't shorten it. Don't shorten it. Again and again, God has made himself famous, listen to me, for his mercy. Let's, at Heritage Baptist Church, be famous for our mercy. Let's be famous for our mercy. I heard somebody the other day said, yeah, I heard about Heritage Baptist Church. They'll take anybody. Again and again and again, we'll just keep taking them. Some people get fired up. People don't understand what's all the things going on, and they make some bad things. And by the way, if you're putting on a Facebook, everybody reads that. Some of you people ought to take off some of the stuff you put on that Facebook. Just take it off. I think you can, can't you? Can you take it off? You ought to clean your Facebook, because if you don't clean it, you may be talking to the preacher and the church. Because it's in writing. That's really stupid. Just thought I'd tell you that. Thought I'd help you out there a little bit. Don't be so stupid as saying to people. People know who you're talking about. I get calls all the time. Preacher, you know who somebody wrote about you? I said, don't tell me, man. I don't get on that thing. I thought everybody loves me. They do, don't you? Huh? You all love me. Hey, living above the cloud. Hey, hey. What a deal. It's Rick. It's not me. It's Mrs. Hobbs. If I said something to offend you, good. I hope you take care of it. So I know what you're talking about. Good, take care of it. Clean it up, fix it up, get on with life. Because I ain't going to bring it up again. Unless you bring it up again. And I'm going to come see you. Just thought I'd just... Like one of the little girls told this guy, he says, go ahead and shoot me. She says, give me one good reason. I love that. I love them. Just give me one good reason. So anyway, love the Lord. Do good unto those that persecute you. Love your enemy. Love your neighbor. try to do everything he can to help others. And just maybe God may give, unsuspend your blessings. Amen? Okay. I know the Winuses are, they're not really rolling in money. They need some help. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come at this time. We'll take an offering for them to help them get down to Denver. Tough deal. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us now as we give tonight. May we be a blessing and help and encouragement to them. Satan wants a laugh in their faith and at their faith. Lord, I pray you just give them wisdom how to spend this money, Lord, because most of us don't have a lot to give around either. And we're taking some things that we were planning on doing and giving to somebody else. Lord, and I know you help us on that. We're going to trust in it. And Lord, help us to be very careful how we give. And remember how we love others to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Selective Vacation Bible School, I want you to say, you're forgiven, Pastor. And I'll say, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't you bring it up again. All right, let's stand to be dismissed. Hey, Brother Brother Hobbs, would you look and see why this battery's dead in my fan? Just think how long I could have really preached if I had some cool air up here. Father, bless this time. We are not here to hurt. We're here to help. We're here to encourage. We're here to build a great church for you. And, Lord, we can't do it without your help. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be very careful that we do not get blatant, that we do not get militant, that we do not get mean, that we do not cause heartaches that are not ours to cause. Lord, now bless this service and bless our folks. And please, Lord, protect them. And be, I pray, Lord Jesus, for the Winuses. Help them as they go to Denver. Give them a good place to stay. And, Lord, you know what their needs are. And I pray for Miss Carol Ross. Pray you just heal her body and strengthen her. Be the others who are not feeling well tonight. Would you help them? And be our teenagers that are going through some tough times in their lives and young people. Would you just answer their prayers? Lord, we know a lot of people needing a lot of jobs around here. And God, would you open up the job market for our people that they may serve in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.